It is our number two of Garden Talk Live at KSRO with me, Steve Garner, and Gwen Kilcher. Hello, Gwen.
Hello again,
Steve. Did you enjoy your five-minute break?
Yes, I did. Thank you. And you?
Let's look at our Wayback Time Machine for a moment. How about that?
Sure.
1917, the first Dahlia Society was formed in San Francisco, California. 1926, the dahlia was chosen as San Francisco's official flower. Hmm. 1963, the dahlia was chosen as the national flower of Mexico. And several years ago, Kate Rowe became a slave to the allure of dahlias. Does that sound about right?
Yes, that sounds right on. Thank you for understanding.
Kate Rowe, who is the co-owner of Aztec Dahlias in Petaluma, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
It's been a year.
Yes,
it's
it
our yearly rendezvous in March.
Happy to be here.
Your partner in Dahlia crime, Omar Duran, is hard at work at the Dahlia Farm in Petaluma this morning, and he's not able to join us.
Yes, he is making sure that all of our plants, our tubers are planted, and he's also packing up orders. People ordered tubers from us online, and he's making sure everybody can get their orders on time.
Well, it's an astounding story about how you fell into the spell under the spell of dahlias, and I want you to tell that story too. And we want to, we'll mention during the hour that the big party is next weekend,
mm-hmm.
and how people can participate on that and how they can order dahlias online, and a little bit of dahlia history and lore. And we'll also, of course, take questions on dahlias during the hour at 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. We'll also take any general gardening question for Gwen and Kate this morning at 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. And if you get in with a question or comment, we'll enter your name in a little drawing we'll do shortly before 11 o'clock for a $25 gift certificate to the dahlias of your choice at Aztec Dahlias. So the open house is when?
It's next weekend, so it's March 22nd to the 24th, and it sets a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay, and when people go, what will they see?
They'll be able to buy tubers. So normally we sell all of our tubers online and they sell out very quickly.
Don't you do that in December?
Yes. And what's happened in the past is locals have told us, we can't get your tubers. They sell out too fast. And so we said, well, that's not okay. So we held back a number of tubers, a lot of tubers back for locals, and more varieties than we normally sell online we held back as well. Because I feel like our local community supports us so much. And so the gardeners here should be able to have access to the very rare varieties that we sell. And so we're doing our first annual local tuber sale. We're calling it Dahlia Mania. Next weekend, and it should be super fun. So when they arrive, there'll be over 100 different kinds of dahlia tubers to choose from. Instructions on how to grow.
Of what they look like?
Yes. Each bin that has tubers will have a photo of what the dahlia looks like, the size written out, because that's always hard to tell with a photo, the name of the dahlia, and then, of course, the code and price.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you'll have all sizes from little golf ball size ones to the big dinner plate ones?
Absolutely.
Okay. And will you have a selection of purple ones? Because those are my faves.
Yes, we will. You can get, well, I could you start to list them off, but you probably
Well, you didn't
bored.
See a lot of purples for a lot of years, it seemed like. They've become very popular, haven't they?
Yes, it's interesting just being in this industry how much certain colors are popular some years and not popular the next year. And it kind of, and different times of year. In the spring, this might seem obvious, but people really buy a lot more pink and purple and cool color dahlias. And then in the fall, of course, people want to buy the reds, the yellows, the oranges. And it's true. I mean, you see the trends not only in the industry, the design industry and the gardening industry, but also just throughout the season.
So when they buy tubers next week, do they pack them in sawdust or just take them in a paper bag?
We will be providing both paper bags and pet, what we call pet shavings, but it's really like a wood shavings that we get at the feed store, and that's how we store our tubers. And with that, we're doing that intentionally so that if you need to take them home and store them yourself, let's say you're not going to get around to planting them for another month, they'll be okay.
You can put them in the garage. You need to refrigerate them.
In the garage. I don't actually recommend refrigerators because they can tend to get a little too cold. Oh. A dahlia tuber cannot survive a freeze. And so you have to be careful if you get anywhere near freezing temperatures with them. I have heard of people who have stored their tubers in the fridge and done okay. But I've also heard nightmare stories where people have lost all their tubers. I think you're taking a risk there. So I would just say put them in the garage, especially this time of year. You kind of want them to start to warm up, have the eyes open up, get the sprouts going, and then you can put them right into the ground whenever you're ready. We do recommend it's after the last big rain if you can time that correctly.
Who knows?
Exactly.
But Ralph, and so if we don't get them in April, May, June, how can we keep them, get them in late summer, or is that risky?
Well, you could try. I always say if someone contacts me in late summer and says I didn't get around to planting them, give it a shot. Don't wait. You can't wait until the following spring. So put them in some kind of soil. And if it's grown a very large sprout before it's been in that soil, I recommend cutting it off to an inch or two. Just cut off a lot of that pre-growth, because you're not going to end up with a very strong plant otherwise. But and you're not going to probably get many blooms if you're planting it later in the summer. No. Ideally, you'd get it in the ground or in a pot, some kind of soil in the spring, and not miss that window. But if you do, dahlias want to grow. There's a rumor that they're difficult to grow, but I would argue that. I think they're easy to grow, and they are survivors.
Of course, you have the perfect soil, the clay soil in Petaluma, right?
Oh, yeah. I was just saying that people have told me you can't grow dahlias in clay. And I thought, well, that's interesting. We do. I'm not saying that you should grow them directly into clay.
But do you think that anything had to do with the O'Briens who owned the farm before you, the years and years and years that they planted in that area? I think they had the farm for 15 years or so.
They did have the farm 15 years, but they had only moved to that property the year before we bought it.
Oh, is that right? Oh, all right.
Yes. What it really comes down to is supplementing our soil. We don't do a full field supplement where we till in a whole the proper amendment for clay. What we do is we take good quality, well-draining soil, and when we plant our plant, because we actually pre-sprout all of the dahlias inside gallon pots, and that's for a number of reasons we could talk about, but when we get to the field, we transplant it in the field with good quality, well-draining soil around it. We add, you know, let's say another gallon of well-draining soil around it, and then that establishes the roots in a more well-draining environment, and then they seem to work through the clay, and clay does have some advantages. It holds nutrients, and it can provide the plant with what it needs. You just, the risk here with dahlias and clay is, of course, the moisture. Mm-hmm. It holds moisture against that tuber, and you can rot the tuber.
Well, did your fields flood this past month?
Not like a lot of people had. My heart was breaking for some farms. We actually didn't have, it was very wet, of course. And the only thing in our field at that time was the cover crop. So we were very fortunate. Oh. And the cover crop seemed to make it through just fine.
What do you plant in cover crop?
We plant just a standard mix. We have peas and beans and vetch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And last year, it was helping the plants a lot. Our main focus is every year we want to have healthier soil and healthier plants. Okay. And so that's our main. And we just believe that if you have healthy soil and healthy plants, then you'll get beautiful flowers.
So where are you now in the planting process?
We are planting in the greenhouse. So we're sorted. We are taking all the tubers out of storage and then sorting them out between what we're going to sell and what we're going to plant based on our field map. And then we're putting each of those tubers into a gallon pot with some soil and getting it started in the greenhouse, one, to keep it out of the rain, because these rains have been quite heavy. Yeah. And then also, I mean, we plant in pots, pre-plant in pots, because I think those plants do better when we transfer them into our clay environment. They're more established as a plant, and I think they can handle, it's my personal opinion, I haven't done any scientific study on this, but I think they can handle that better. It also ensures that we have a viable plant in each spot in the field.
Oh,
tubers have a failure rate, just like anything else. Not every tuber is going to create a plant. And so therefore, I mean, you can do some things and look for eyes on your tubers if you're, I'm not sure if your guests are familiar, but a tuber doesn't have eyes all over it like a potato. A tuber only has eyes on it in one small part. So you can look and ensure that it has an eye first, because the only way a plant's going to grow. And then still, you might have some failure rate when it comes to planting.
Is it important where that eye is positioned when you plant the tuber?
You know, ideally it would be pointing up.
Yes.
But I'll tell you, dahlias will figure it out. If you plant that thing down and upside down, ideally you plant your tuber horizontally with the eye up. But you could, I've seen them planted upside down, okay, pointed down, and they'll still want to reach them.
They'll find up.
They will.
So there's an advantage, you said, to pre-sprouting in the gallon containers?
I think so. I mean, you know the tuber's viable. So you know when you move it to your garden that it's going to grow well. And, I mean, you also have some root growth and established the plant in an environment where you're not risking the rains in the spring, which can, depending on your soil type, if you have well-draining soil, you're not going to have a problem, okay, usually, because the water will just pass by the tuber. But if you don't have well-draining soil like we don't, then you're taking a big risk on that tuber rotting.
Yeah, good. There's so much to talk about for dahlias, but also we want to make sure that our listeners know that they can reach you and Gwen for any general gardening questions at 636-1350. We can take calls now. If you get in with a question or comment, one of you will win a $25 gift certificate to Aztec Dahlias in Petaluma simply by getting in with a question or comment. You can do that either via phone or shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. Simple as that. Deer don't particularly like dahlias, do they?
They're not supposed to, but
saying yes, Gwen?
Yeah, when I tell
people. I read in my book, they're deer resistant.
Yeah,
don't read. Whoever said that they deer don't eat dahlias. Huh?
But you don't really have deer where you are down on Adobe Road, do you?
We have lucked out. We have not had a lot of deer in our field. However, we do use liquid fence along two sides of the field. And we are fortunate. We use it on the sides that are downwind. Because a liquid fence, if your guests aren't familiar with it, is basically spoiled eggs. It's egg liquid. It smells terrible.
Yeah, it's really horrible.
And, that's why, depending on how close your neighbors are and which way the wind blows, you can choose whether that's something you want to do. But it has kept, we don't have deer problems, we have jackrabbit problems. They like to come into our salad bar that we have grown for them, painstakingly, and eat all of the sprouts. Yes, but deer will eat your dahlias if you find your deer.
You don't spray the plants with the liquid fence.
No.
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 But that keeps them away just because.
Yeah, we put a line on two sides of the field where we find that the rabbits are coming from, and it stops them.
Okay.
Works very effectively.
Any other pest or critics? Don't earwigs go after dahlias?
Yes, earwigs, we've been fortunate in our field. I had those at my garden at home. We have been fortunate in our field in Petaluma that we don't have a large earwig problem. And at home, I used to take, I'm sure you've tried all these things, but I used to take paper towel rolls and wet paper towels.
Yeah, or newspaper
rolls. Yes, or a newspaper, and shove it into the paper towel roll, and then set that into my garden, and all the earwigs would find it. Yeah. And then I'd take that in the morning and knock it off into a bucket of water to get rid of the earwigs there. But they are a problem.
Yeah, but not on your test, on your commercial fields.
Exactly.
I would think the cucumber beetles would be a bigger problem than the earwigs.
Our biggest nemesis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I tell her my idea?
Go right ahead.
I got this Makita rechargeable vacuum cleaner thing. It's like a electric broom kind of thing. And I took the attachment off, and I have the long hose there. And it's long enough where you don't have to be bending down like a little dustbuster thing. Mm-hmm. And I stand there, and 1 year, I counted. I mean, you have nothing else to do when you're sucking up cucumber beetles. 420 cucumber beetles in my vegetable garden in just one morning.
I love it.
So you stand out there and you just go along early in the morning and you see those guys and you just suck them up, and then you put a cover over the hose so they don't just crawl out, and you let it sit in the sun and you let them die and bake them
slowly.
Yeah. Don't you love Gwen?
You know, we sound cruel, but you know, if you've ever had cucumber beetles eat, they don't. I don't actually mind if a pest eats the leaves as long as they're not decimating the leaves. But the cucumber beetles, if you're unfamiliar, they eat the actual bloom. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking. And they'll eat it when it's in bud form so that when it goes to open, there's no chance. And I love this vacuum idea. I've actually read about some farms using backpack vacuums.
Yeah, that would work.
On a larger scale. Mm-hmm. And we have discussed doing that. We do squish a lot of them. So much so, I actually can't get my hands clean in the summer because they're black from killing cucumber
beetles. So you use disposable gloves, like in the doctor's office?
I don't.
That'll save your fingers.
Oh, no, yeah.
So they don't look like my hand right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, we don't. I don't care what my hands look like. I do care more that the cucumber beetles
don't. So you're the squish and destroy. You don't apply any type of chemicals.
We do use something called plant therapy.
Oh,
if you've heard of this, we only last year were told about this product, and we love it. There's no way I'm going to claim it's going to get rid of your cucumber beetles, but it has helped us with a number of things. We had white flies at the beginning. I feel like every year there's some other pest that wants to, depending on the conditions, come in and make its home there. So we had white flies at the very beginning of the year, and plant therapy is completely all natural. I believe it is citric acid, peppermint oil, and soybean oil. But I would encourage everyone listening to look it up.
It's a spray?
It is. It's a liquid spray.
Is it a concentrate?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And where do you get it at, farm supply?
We get it at Wyatt Irrigation.
Oh, at Wyatt. All right. And that worked well for you?
Absolutely. We were so excited about it because it's also completely, they say it's safe enough to spray without a mask. Now, I would never spray without a mask, even if it's, you know, this kind of product that's basically edible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're highly concerned about the bees.
Sure.
They have a lot of home in our fields, so we won't spray anything that hurts them, even if it means, you know, losing a lot of blooms. And so when people ask how we can get so many beautiful blooms, we compost a lot of them that get eaten by bugs that were, because we're unwilling to spray something.
But plant therapy has worked well for you for the cucumber beetles and white flies thus far.
For white flies, cucumber beetles, it doesn't get rid of them, but it deters. I would like to believe it's deterring them. I don't know. You know, it's hard to say exactly, but because we still have so many in the field. And cucumber beetles seem to like the lighter colored dahlias more.
Hmm.
And I have a theory about why. Because dahlias, if you've been up close to them and spent time, which I would encourage you to do, our field is open to walk through when it's in bloom.
Oh.
So I would say if you have not been by to walk through, we have over 400 different varieties of dahlias. So just to come and spend the day and just enjoy all the different types.
What month's the best month?
Mid-August to end of September is when it's ridiculous. It's in full bloom, and you know, save a couple hours if you're going to go. It's not a quick walkthrough. But dahlias have a glitter sheen almost. They, in the light, they actually shine. And I find the ones that shine the most, the cucumber beetles like the most. And I wonder if it has something to do with pollination, right? So if the flower is there to say, hey, come pollinate me. And this essentially what might look like to the insect, a bright light in the field. Of course, they're attracted to light. I mean, I would assume like most insects are, and they come and they can pollinate those plants. I mean, that's my theory.
Well, I like that theory. This gal can talk dahlias till the cows come home. It's Kate Rowe from Aztec Dahlias. Put this on your calendar next Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Their big open house. Their tubers will be for sale. And where exactly is Aztec Dahlias, huh?
It's at 2478 East Washington in Petaluma. And so if you're familiar with Petaluma, it's right at the corner of East Washington and Adobe.
All right, right at the corner.
Yeah, so if you get on East Washington and just head east towards Sonoma, the road ends. So right when East Washington ends, look to your right.
And you'll find it.
Yeah.
636-1350 if you have general gardening questions or dahlia questions. What a great opportunity to tap both Gwen Kilcher and Kate Rowe's minds this morning. And one of you will win a $25 gift certificate to Aztec Dahlias, which would be pretty cool. Or you can send us an email, steve@ksro.com. We'll take your questions right after this.
Larkfield hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, seafood, and freshly made sausages. A variety of cheese, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Enjoy the Bee Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta made from her produce. Shop the market's creative local artisans and sample fresh-made pastries and bread that are still warm. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of the Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, seafood, and freshly made sausages. A variety of cheese, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Enjoy the Bee Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta made from her produce. Shop the market's creative local artisans and sample fresh-made pastries and bread that are still warm. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of the Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Did you know the largest RV dealer in the North Bay is now celebrating 28 years in business, and they're right here in Petaluma? Reed's Trailer Sales on Old Redwood Highway in Petaluma has over 200 travel trailers, fifth wheels, and truck campers. Now's the time to make the best deals of the season, and Reed's will match any show deal on comparable models. Also, Reed's Trailer Sales is looking to consign your late model motorhome, travel trailer, or fifth wheel. Let our experts sell it for you. Reed's will get you top dollar and save you all the time and hassle, or they can pay you cash on the spot. The largest RV dealer with over 28 years in business is right in your own backyard. Reed's Trailer Sales in Petaluma. Call 792-9100 or on the web at reedsrv.com.
Reed's, you should buy your trailer at Reed's. A fifth wheel travel trailer or utility. You should buy your trailer at Reed's.
Reed's Trailer Sales.
Now accepting consignments. There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at A Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor.
It's time for the Sonoma County Home Show at the fairgrounds, March 15th through the 17th. Visit them in the Hall of Flowers to see the new Basalite Sierra Collection paver display patio. Plus, check out their work as well as plants from the nursery. They'll have sales on Basalite pavers and turf, and you can enter to win a $500 plant package from A Better Way Produce and Nursery. Can't make it to the home show? Then visit them at the nursery and enter to win there. The winner will be notified Monday, March 18th. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
You can reach us now at 636-1350 for any and all gardening questions. We'd love to hear from you in the KSRO greenhouse this morning. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher, and special guest today, Kate Rowe from Aztec Dahlias. I believe our biggest Aztec grower commercially in Sonoma County, are you not?
Yes, that's true. As far as number of varieties and number of dahlia plants, there are other gardener or other farmers who are growing dahlias, and they're beautiful. But they just tend to grow just probably due to space and other crops, fewer varieties.
We can take calls now, 636-1350, certainly dahlia questions or any general gardening questions you might have this morning. Marilyn from Sebastopol, welcome to the show. What can we do for you? Hi.
Well, hi. I have a problem. My dahlias, by the time I dug them up, got eaten kind of by gophers. And so I have mostly the stem part with a smidgen of tuber. And I don't know whether they'll grow or if I get any shoots or...
I think you were eavesdropping on our conversation, Marilyn. That's what we were talking about during the break. Kate, any problems with gophers where you are or in the Petaluma area?
In the Petaluma area in general, yes, gophers are a problem. We are very fortunate due to our clay soil, I believe, that we don't actually yet have gophers in our field particularly. We are always watching out for that. But gophers will decimate your plants, your dahlias especially. They love to eat them, like as apparently they have loved to eat your plants this year.
Sebastopol's gopher heaven.
Yes, exactly. So there are things you can do to help with the gophers. Some farmers have been known to grow their dahlias in bulb crates. I'm not sure if those are available or something that would even look great in everyone's garden, but that's essentially a big plastic crate, kind of like a milk crate, that people will actually grow their dahlias in. Another option is just a pot to pot up your dahlias in a large pot. You want to give the tubers room to grow. And if you want them in your garden still, you can use a gopher cage, but definitely make sure you use a large gopher cage because there needs to be room for the tubers to grow out and not be suffocated by a small, tiny environment. And so, specifically to your question, you said that you have part of the tuber is still there?
Yeah, a smidgen.
A smidgen. Is it just one, then there is there anything else? So just a smidgen of a tuber and then part of a sprout?
Yeah, actually, well, I had several plants and most of them have smidgens of tubers plus what's left of the stem end.
Are they starting to sprout at all yet?
No, they're under the house and they haven't started to sprout yet.
Okay, there's hope. Can you get them away from the gophers?
Yeah, actually, I don't usually have... this is the first time I've lost that many of them. Maybe I usually dig them up a little sooner. I'm pretty good at trapping gophers. But normally I don't lose that many of them, but I really lost a bunch.
Well, if there's a part of the tuber left, some people may be shocked to hear this, but you don't need a full tuber to grow a dahlia.
Yeah.
And when we have large tubers at the farm that won't fit in our gallon pots, we just cut them in half and keep the eye side. And we will put, we take a sulfur and we'll put it on the end to try to prevent there being mold growth. Other people will just leave the tuber out for a day or two to try to get some skin to grow on that side because it's very moist. But I would say for you, if there's some tuber left, you could cut it off clean or you can leave it like it is if it doesn't look too bad and see if you can grow it. And I would probably at this point want to grow it in a gallon pot or a smaller pot with the eye of it out of the dirt a little bit and see. And then that way you can monitor its growth. You also don't have to have a tuber completely buried for it to grow. And so some people, in order to take their cuttings, will grow put the... If everyone can think about what or imagine what a tuber might look like, there's a tuber body, and then there's the neck, and then the eye is on the other side of the neck. And so it looks kind of, it's round and then a neck and then the eye. If you can plant the body part in the soil and even part of the neck in the soil, but keep that little eye out of the soil, you can see how it's doing. And people who are doing cuttings off dahlias will allow that to sprout and then cut off that new growth as it comes up and then use that as a cutting. But this would be a way for you, Marilyn, to see whether or not these tubers are still viable is... If there's enough body on that tuber still, it'll have the DNA and some nutrients to get started. And if it can get some root growth going, then you're in business. I mean, the dahlia will grow new tubers for the following year. And I have been shocked at how much a small or half-eaten tuber will still grow a plant.
Does that help, Marilyn?
Yes, it does, and I will give it a go.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. We'll take a break. Be right back. More Dahlia questions coming at 636-1350. You can get in now with your Dahlia question or general gardening questions at 636-1350 or Steve at ksro.com, and we'll enter you in the $25 gift certificate giveaway to Aztec Dahlias right before Garden Talk ends at 11.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, seafood, and freshly made sausages. A variety of cheese, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta made from her produce. Shop the market's creative local artisans and sample fresh-made pastries and bread that are still warm. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of the Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
The 13th Annual California Artisan Cheese Festival is back March 23rd and 24th. 2 days of cheese bliss right here in Sonoma County. Get your tickets today for Cheese Bites and Booze event. Cheesy creations from local chefs, plus wine, beer, and cocktails while enjoying live music Saturday night, March 23rd at the Jackson Family Wines Airplane Hangar at the Sonoma Jet Center.
All right, attention passengers, prepare to take off.
Tickets are selling quick, so get yours today at artisancheesefestival.com. Cheese Bites and Booze is a nonstop adventure and delicious competition where the cheesemakers, chefs, and cheesemongers create their best bite of California artisan cheesy goodness. Saturday, March 23rd, the perfect event for cheese lovers and foodies. Tickets online at artisancheesefestival.com. Mark your calendars for California Artisan Cheese Week, March 16th through the 24th. Restaurants, tasting rooms, independent grocers, and businesses throughout the Bay Area are participating in this inaugural cheesy event. Visit artisancheesefestival.com for participating businesses.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Nonprofit organizations, it's time to ramp up your human race efforts. This year's race is May 4th, and now is the time to sign up. Businesses are putting together teams and may want to support your cause. Register your nonprofit today at humanracenow.org. That's humanracenow.org.
Whether your next thrills come on the water, on the road, or cross country, come see your options at the 4th Annual Boat RV and Sports Show. March 29th through 31st at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. NorthBayBoatRV.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Two clouds for the weekend. Today, mostly sunny at 71, 61 on the coast. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 44, 45 on the shores. Partly cloudy for tomorrow at 75, 66 in Bodega Bay. And then blue skies still for Monday at 74, 66 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
A wonderful sign of spring with dahlias. And Kate Rowe from Aztec Dahlias in Petaluma joining us on Garden Talk at KSRO this morning. We've covered a lot of ground about how to ensure that you have the most success in planting your dahlia tubers. You have a chance next weekend down at Aztec for their big open house on Adobe Canyon Road there in Petaluma to buy tubers. What, did I say something wrong?
On East Washington.
East Washington. But doesn't it run into Adobe Canyon?
That is true. It's right on the corner.
Right in the
You're
corner of Adobe.
You're both right.
Adobe Canyon Road?
It's yeah. Adobe Road. Yeah.
Adobe Road, pardon me.
It's all good.
They'll find it.
I'm sorry. I was trying to think
well,
of
you
where...
can also Google Aztec Dahlia.
It is Friday, Saturday, popular. Sunday.
Yes.
What time?
9 to 4.
And someone's on site to give some tutorials and information, and both of you and Omar will be there. And,
yes, right? And we'll have a flyer for you to take home that's a quick how to grow your dahlias so you can, if you forget everything we've told you when you're there.
So what are the most popular varieties out of the how many thousands of dahlias are available in the world?
Oh, yes. I heard a rumor once. I don't know if it's true. There's 27,000 different official varieties. I'm not sure.
And you
sure.
grow 400?
Yeah, we grow 400. So not that many, really. It is kind of an obsession, I will warn you. Everyone's favorites are different based on what they like. Some people are obsessed with the little ball dahlias that are the very structured and patterned ones. And other people love the more informal classification specialists. We call them informal dahlias that grow just all different ways. And I'd say by far the most popular dahlia is Café au Lait. And this is
because of the color or because of the shape?
I think both. Oh. And also, it's one of the only dahlias that will bloom differently on the same plant. It's similar, of course, in look and feel, but every single bloom is unique. We're typically with a dahlia plant, which is kind of like a bush, right? It keeps shooting off blooms, and the more you cut your dahlias, the more blooms you have. So I always encourage people to cut your dahlias and enjoy them in your house because you'll get even more blooms. But normally, they'll all look almost the same. And on this particular plant, Café au Lait, those dahlias will look, one will be more pink and one will be more like a cafe creamy color. Nice. Some are more structured and some have this very curly thing going on in the center. And each one is just unique in its own.
Beautiful.
They're gorgeous. And we will have those tubers next weekend. They're very difficult to find. Another popular just whole range of dahlias are the black dahlias. Mm-hmm. Those are popular. We'll have some black dahlias on site next week. I mean, we'll have a whole range of colors. But, you know, also varieties that you just can't find on a normal basis. Cactus dahlias, which some people think of as the spiky ones. And those dahlias have actually what it is that the petals are not so much narrow, although they are more narrow. The petals actually curve on a cactus dahlia. And there's incurve varieties and other kinds of varieties that are just, when you're with them, it's astounding. And I hope everyone gets to walk through the field this summer, regardless of whether you grow dahlias or not. It's breathtaking, the number of different forms and colors that are out there.
Maureen from Sebastopol, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. What can we do for you this morning?
Good morning. I'm calling to ask a question about dahlias. I bought one at the supermarket. It was quite tall in a 5 or 3.5 gallon pot. And when the flowers went, I cut it off, but I left the neck sticking up and it's still in the dirt. Is it? I don't know anything about them. I want to learn.
Absolutely. No, you're doing all the right things. So it's still in the pot, you're saying. And when did you buy it?
Pardon me?
When did you purchase it?
The end of last summer. And it's been in the dirt and it bloomed, sitting on the patio in full sun. Oh, for a month or two it bloomed. Mm-hmm. And then eventually the flowers are gone. But there's one neck sticking up.
You've done the perfect thing. That is exactly what you want to do. At the end of the season, when the plant dies back and turns brown, you cut it off about an inch or two above the soil. So it sounds like you've done that. And then this year, it will just come up again on its own.
Can I transplant it? Apparently, the bulb inside the dirt is popped the side of the container.
Oh, wow.
It has to go in a bigger container, I imagine, so I can do that.
Yes, you definitely want to transplant it if the tubers have grown that much inside the container.
Yes.
And now would be a good time to do that. Especially, you might want to wait until after the rains next week. But
well, it's on the patio, and I've let, because I do begonias and I pretty much have luck with them. And so I've let it dry out. Should I water it more or?
No, not necessarily. Not until it comes up. It's best not to water your dahlias or your tubers until they have sprouted out of the ground.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because the tubers can rot. If you have well-draining soil, you can get away with it. I don't want anyone panicking if their pot's sitting outside right now and it's got some water in it, as long as the soil in it is well-draining. In your case, if you're going to keep it in a potted situation, then yes, definitely move it to a larger pot. And if the tubers inside have grown so large that there's not a lot of room for growth this next year, you can actually take that entire root ball and cut it in half or cut it in quarters. Yes. Each one of the tubers inside, what you'll see when you pull it up is it'll have grown into 10, could be 5 to 15 different tuber outgrowths. And each of those tuber outgrowths will grow a whole new plant. But unlike other plants, a lot of people make the mistake of cutting them off at the neck. And so each tuber will have a body, a neck, and then the eye for the next plant is near the stem. So you'll want to make sure when you cut it up, which some people I'd recommend is just cut it straight down from the stem, or keep a group of 3 or 4 tubers together, and then you're likely to have an eye within that group. But don't just cut off the bodies of the tubers, unless you just want to get rid of mass. Another option would be to take some of the side tubers and just cut off the bodies. Don't expect those to grow anywhere else, but it's just going to get rid of some of the mass that you have to allow for additional tuber growth in the new pot.
This is interesting. I'm looking very forward to doing your tour and learning more and more about them.
Well, I'm excited for you. I started with just one myself, and now I have a few more than that.
I heard the story from, I think it was last year when you were on. I remembered that story, and I thought that was pretty good.
Thanks for your call, Maureen.
Thank you very much.
Our pleasure talking with you. Jane is up next. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Jane. What can we do for you this morning?
Good morning. I inherited dahlias in a place I moved into. I didn't know they were even there till they came up, so that was really a special surprise. And last year, I left them in the ground. I didn't know any better if I should or shouldn't, and I just left them in the ground. And they died down, and they came back up. And last summer, there was one group of them that had what looked sort of like fungus on them, on the leaves. They were all kind of spotted a bit and then would turn brown in those areas. So they were sort of mixed green and brown. And I'm not sure that's what it was, but I have somebody that helps me in the yard, and he said that's what he thought it probably was. So I'm wondering what to do about that.
Was, just specifically, did it start off as a white-looking fungus? And if not, were the leaves particularly crispy or hard?
They got crispy because they died in spots.
Did they get kind of light green and crispy and hard at the end? It makes me think that maybe you had spider mites.
Okay.
The good news about spider, I'll talk about both conditions and then maybe one of them will ring a bell. If it's white powder, which it sounds like it didn't start as, that's powdery mildew, which if you didn't have it, other people will have had it that are probably listening. And that powdery mildew is just floating around in the air and it finds your plant if it's in a moist situation and it wants to grow. And so the way to prevent powdery mildew is to spray some kind of, it can be something organic, but an oil base. It can be, like the plant therapy we were speaking about earlier, or it can be any kind of oil-based spray. It can be organic. We'll just coat the leaves and prevent the mildew from setting in, and it's best to prevent that when you don't have it yet, so in a prevention method. It sounds like you might have had something, because this will happen if the type of description you're saying will happen if you get spider mites. And the way you'd know if you had spider mites is you can turn the leaves over, because they probably, did they curl into kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you turn the leaf over and you look really closely, there'll be almost like a little tiny spider web inside that leaf. And spider mites are pretty nasty. And the good news for you is that it won't kill the the tuber itself, it's just going to kill your plant. You know, last year it killed your plant, but it doesn't kill the tuber. And it doesn't live in the ground throughout the summer, so or throughout the winter. So you won't necessarily have them again this summer. However, spider mites will continue. If they get into your garden, they can spread around. They can go to your tomatoes. They can get all over the place. And so if you see them cropping up, you'll want to do something about them early on. And since you know that they might be around, I would check for them before your plants get in too bad of a state.
Anything else to add, Gwen?
I'm wondering if it's a watering issue, too. They got too hot during the summer, and you didn't give them a good drink of water, and they started to dry out a bit. And so then the roots start taking in moisture, sucking it out of the leaves. And so did you notice this started happening after the first heat spell? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but it could have been.
Okay,
I'm just not sure.
I would do everything that Kate is saying, but then I would also watch your watering in the summertime. And are they in sun all day long and in a hot spot in the yard?
Yes.
And that could be another thing, too. It's just a little too much sun for them, and they might want a little bit of reprieve from the afternoon sun.
Okay. It's possible. It depends on the heat situation. We grow ours in an open field, mm-hmm. and they enjoy full sun, but they don't enjoy heat. And so a lot of people get confused about that.
And do you ever have fungal problems or spider mites?
We do preventative spraying. The plant therapy helps. We do preventive spraying with an oil-based, we switch it up sometimes what kind of oil we use, but to prevent the powdery mildew from setting in.
Okay.
We do a second thing as well, which is to strip the bottom 10 inches of the plant from its from leaves. We just pop those off. Actually, if you go up to a dahlia and you pull down on the leaf, it'll pop right off the base, at the stem. I'm talking about, like, you walk up, you pinch in at the stem, and you just pull down on the leaf, and it'll pop off. If you clear off that bottom bit of growth, it does a number of things, actually. It allows more air to move through there, mm-hmm. which is going to prevent powdery mildew. Two, those are the leaves that tend to naturally die on a dahlia. There's nothing wrong with your plant. It's healthy. Just the bottom leaves will turn brown. So your plant will look better in your garden mm-hmm. if you pop those off. And then it gives those dead leaves, which tend to collect at the bottom of the dahlia, are a place where pests like to live. And so you're also removing an environment that could potentially bring in unwanted pests into your yard. And so that's another preventative measure you may want to take if it's not a watering issue, is to pop those bottom leaves off this summer when your plants come up.
So does that help?
Yes. Do you use the plant therapy for the spider mites?
You can, yes. And it does list them as being able to help with spider mites at the farm. Spider mites are quite nasty. You'll want to get them early.
Thanks for your call, Jane. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Maybe take one more or two more email questions, and that'll be a quick hour here at Garden Talk.
Pengrove, here's FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
Women entrepreneurs, women business owners, this event is for you. Announcing the Women Talk Biz Annual Confab, happening April 25th from 8 to 4 at the Grayton Casino Ballroom in Roanoke Park. Last year, 300 women benefited from the speakers, roundtable experts, and networking that make this the must-attend event of the year for women entrepreneurs and owners. This year, we're adding an access to funding session coordinated by the Napa-Sonoma Small Business Development Center. Every attendee will receive the Business Owner Toolkit crafted by presenting sponsor Exchange Bank. Other sponsors include Star Staffing and Professional Program Insurance Brokerage. If you want more for your business, join us this April. Visit womentalkbiz.net. Tuesdays at noon, listen to Women Talk Biz on KSRO with Vicki DeArmon. Hear from Exchange Bank's Jessica Smith on networking, Julie Hawkins about saying no without guilt, and author Chanel Reynolds on What Matters Most, a guide to wills, money, insurance, and life's what-ifs. Visit womentalkbiz.net, where we have events that can transform your business. Let us be your net. Let us be your springboard. That's womentalkbiz.net.
Hey, it's George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. That's right. My team and I have partnered with Cross Country Mortgage to deliver fast closings, great interest rates, and the largest selection of loan programs available. Did you know that nearly half of all Sonoma County real estate purchases are made with all cash? That's tough for the other half to compete with, but not for our clients. With Cross Country's fast track pre-approval, our buyers can close in as little as 10 days and with no loan contingency. In some cases, we can even waive an appraisal. Worried about rising interest rates? That's okay because Cross Country's unique lock and shop program lets our pre-approved buyers lock in today's rate while they search for their perfect home. If you're ready to buy or refinance, visit GeorgeAdair.com or call me at 583-8100. Again, go to GeorgeAdair.com or call 583-8100 to begin a great lending experience.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and Georgia Dare, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at a Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor.
It's time for the Sonoma County Home Show at the Fairgrounds, March 15th through the 17th. Visit them in the Hall of Flowers to see the new Basalite Sierra Collection paver display patio. Plus, check out their work as well as plants from the nursery. They'll have sales on Basalite pavers and turf, and you can enter to win a $500 plant package from a Better Way Produce and Nursery. Can't make it to the home show? Then visit them at the nursery and enter to win there. The winner will be notified Monday, March 18th. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
The 13th annual California Artisan Cheese Festival is back March 23rd and 24th. 2 days of cheese bliss right here in Sonoma County. Get your tickets today for the Artisan Cheese Tasting and Marketplace at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds Sunday, March 24th. More than two dozen cheesemakers and over 100 total vendors of artisan food and beverages that complement cheese. Beer, wine, cider, jams, jellies, crackers, charcuterie, honey, chocolate, and so much more. You get to try and buy at the Marketplace. It's the Artisan Cheese Tasting and Marketplace place on Sunday, March 24th. The perfect event for cheese lovers and foodies. Tickets online at artisancheesefestival.com. Mark your calendars for California Artisan Cheese Week, March 16th through the 24th. Restaurants, tasting rooms, independent grocers, and businesses throughout the Bay Area are participating in this inaugural cheesy event. Enjoy your favorite cheeses and discover new ones through special cheese-inspired menus and dishes, cheese plates, tastings, pairings, discounts, and more. Visit artisancheesefestival.com for participating businesses.
So everybody that emailed us and called us is entered into the drawing. We couldn't get to our last couple of questions via email, but that's okay. You'll be entered into the drawing in just a moment. So, Kate, why should we plant dahlias? They're generous with their flowers, kind of like roses. You can continue cutting all summer long. Is that one reason?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, plant them not only because they're gorgeous, but they'll just keep giving you blooms. And then, like the previous caller said, that her plant has already grown a bunch of tubers. Each year, they'll give you more tubers. You can divide those, give them to friends. They're a generational plant. You can actually, I've heard of some of my customers say they've passed them down generation to generation, and they have their great-grandmother's plant. Mm. I think that's so amazing.
And they don't need to be divided. You can keep them in the ground all year round.
That is true. Here, we are so fortunate. There's another reason to grow them here is we're some of the luckiest people in the country. We don't have to dig them out of the ground.
Okay. If they're in containers every few years, you do need to put them up and divide, possibly?
Yeah, even if they're, I mean, what it really comes down to is do the tubers have room to grow? And so if they're in your garden and they're crammed in there, then every couple of years you might want to get them out and just get rid of some of the tubers or, you know, like I said, give them to your friends.
Your website?
AztecDahlias.com.
Easy. And if when you go to the sale next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, even if you don't buy anything, you can get the free sheet that tells us how to plant our dahlias.
Absolutely. And you can freely speak to me. I won't charge you a dime for just coming and having a good time.
Your favorite number today between 1 and 8, Kate?
Oh, well, I got to pick 7.
Caller number 7. We randomly assigned all the numbers to the callers that came in. Caller number 7 was not Marilyn, but she wins the $25 gift certificate. And what's the best way? Should we mail that to her, or what do you want to do?
Yes, I could actually just make it really quick. And if we get Marilyn's email address off air, then we can email her a gift certificate today.
Perfect. Kate, best of luck next weekend. We want to have you back soon because you're a font of dahlia information.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you again. Stick around. Chef John Ash in the kitchen following the news. Thank you, Gwen. We'll see you next week for Orchid Lore.
Yes.
Marnie Turkel, one of the most knowledgeable orchid growers in the area, will be sitting in with us next week on Garden Talk. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.